right, good morning, and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. We'll do that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. That's a really lame way to start a service, right? But until you've stood up here and had all of your beautiful eyes staring at you, it's a different experience. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking, so forgive me. But anyway, when I say that you're in for a treat this morning, I can't tell you how much of an understatement that is. I've got the lineup here, and let me tell you, I believe you're going to be blessed from the top to the bottom. God's going to do something great this morning. We just met with all the young people who are getting ready to be part of the service, and God is doing something great. I don't know about you, but I had somewhat of a chaotic week. David, your life is chaotic, so I know you had a chaotic week. I've got the mic. Let me take the shots. But I don't have a mic. I don't even know why I said that. But listen, no matter how chaotic your week was, you're at church this morning, right? We may, outside of these doors, we may be fighting things that we never want to talk about, but you know what? We locked them outside for you, right? They're trapped out there. There's no one in here but us and Jesus wants to do something this morning for you. So my prayer is that this morning we'll take just a couple of minutes and just say, Lord, you know what? You've got my full attention. You've got my full attention. Yesterday, I was distracted. Last Sunday, the preaching was great, but I was in a bad mood. You know, the Sunday before that, I woke up in such a bad mood, I didn't even come to church, you know. But this morning, God, I'm here. And so since I'm here, I might as well let you do something with me, right? Man. Imagine going to the dentist and then turning around in the parking lot and going, you know what, I'm just not in the mood to get my teeth cleaned today. You know, people are like, what do you do? You're at church. You're at church. We might as well let our hair down and say, you know what, God, I believe you've got something for me this morning. Amen. Lord, I believe you've prepared something for me this morning, and I can tell you he has. He has. Now it's your turn to decide whether or not your heart's prepared for what he has for you. Lord, we love you. We are so, so thankful for what an amazing place Calvary Baptist Church is. Lord, since I was about 8 years old, I remember turning the curve at the top of the hill and seeing the steeple and arguing with the other kids in the bus about who saw it first. But God, I thank you for what that steeple's meant in my life for a much longer time than I want to admit. And God, this morning, we're under your steeple, but more importantly, we're under your cross. And even more importantly than that, God, we're under your word and what you have for us this morning. So we thank you, and we individually and corporately turn this service over to you, God, and say thank you so much for what you're going to do this morning for us at Calvary Baptist Church. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. My name is Alex, and I've been at Calvary for about 6 years now, and I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in a family with my parents and my two younger brothers, and I was thinking at the time that life was good, and I felt like there was nowhere in the world, but I didn't know that my parents' relationship has been being affected by addictions. I remember when I first got to Calvary, it felt like my whole world had been turned upside down, but later on I realized that Calvary was the best thing that ever happened to me. A year ago, I was doing some stupid things with a couple of my friends, and we got in trouble, and I felt so guilty about it. And the next Sunday at church, the Lord convicted me, and after Sunday school, I went up to Uncle B, and I told him I don't want to go to hell, and he said, you don't have to. And he led me to Jesus on the morning of August 8, 2021. One verse that's been sticking with me in my walk with Christ is Philippians 3:13 to 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. With God, I'm trying to press towards the mark, even though it may be difficult at times. I'm taking God's hand because this life is not just about me, but it's about Christ in me.
Thank you. counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of why. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. He knows my name.
Can you all please stand and turn to page 379 in your hymnals and join us as we sing "There's a Fountain"? Page 379.
Drawn. ushers please come down? Happy birthday, Brother Snyder. We love you. Please remember our fall festival this evening at 5 p.m. Due to rainy weather, it looks like we will be in the fellowship hall. The church is providing hot dogs, chips, and drinks. Donations of Little Debbie's are appreciated for the treat walk. Also, please remember our church Thanksgiving dinner, which will be on Sunday, November 20th at 5 p.m. Sign-up sheets will be out next week. Please remember Alan Clayton as he undergoes more tests. And remember James Townsend, who is at home but still needs our prayers. Finally, the youth group has a precious friend, Ms. Barbara Anderson, who is confined right up the road. At Powder Springs Center for Nursing and Healing visiting hours are at 8 a.m. through 7 p.m. She and her roommate live for visits. We just want to encourage everyone to try and visit. Brother Celon, could you pray for us?
God is good, isn't he? This week, when Justin sent a message to ask me to preach, he did it on Thursday. Had it been any sooner, my answer would have probably been, let me wait and see. Because as CJ mentioned in the beginning of the service about how the crazies of the week can be and the problems that can go on, my week was just that, as he spoke of, tough. It was hard. At times, angry. Because of the things that went on this week and the things that happened. Now, nothing bad with me. It is my first cousin, for those that are aware, was found, passed away at the beginning of the week, unexpectedly, at the age of 44. So for me, it was a roller coaster of a week. So pray for me as I share what God has laid on my heart, not just on Thursday since Brother Justin and I have talked, but something that I've worked on for several months, even before I even came here, that it first started as just a Bible study that God gave me, and until a few months ago, at almost the beginning of the year, been a little more than a few months, God said, I want you to preach it. And I'm like, okay, I did a study, but God, you want me to pick a passage and share it? And he says, yes, absolutely. So this morning, what I did, I prayed about how God would have me do the introductory. And I told Brother Justin, I said, sometimes God has me to do things a little creative. And this morning I'm going to do something a little different. And I'm going to do something that's not your typical style of introductory. And I've asked Imani to come and help me get started with the introductory. So don't worry, I didn't single him out just now. It's just earlier we spoke and I told him what I wanted to do. As far as doing an introductory, he has no clue exactly what, but he was anticipating to be called up here. He's a brave man, ain't he? Imani, thank you. Come on up. You can stand right there. And I told him I'd instruct him exactly what to do. I did tell him he didn't have to quack like a duck or sing or anything. I have three instruments. They're very familiar. And that's a nice little yardstick, isn't it? You know what's good about this? You can reach a couple pews over and poke somebody, right? And then this one is just a regular 12-inch ruler. What's good about it, you can sit behind a person and just thump them on the head, right? One way to keep them awake in church. Not calling any names there. And then some real fun, you get a tape measure. Now you better behave, CJ. I can get to you. So I'm going to give you a task. And out of these three instruments, they all do the same thing, but which one would you pick? Are you sure you want to use a tape measure? All right. Do me a favor. Measure at the bottom of the... This is good. I get a nice little pointer. All right, go down there and measure from there about 2 feet for me, please. No, go towards the audience. Okay, perfect. All right, keep on measuring because you got a long ways to measure. Because what he didn't realize, he just agreed to, that he's going to measure the whole earth. Thank you, Imani. Love you, brother. Measuring the whole earth. In case you're trying to figure out what the title of the message is, it is, how big is our God? How big is our God? When God first gave me the message, I was not sure exactly how to put it together. And I said, God, you're going to have to help me from the introductory, from the start to the finish. So as I thought about how big is God, I first thought of where would be the first and best place to put in about how big God is. How about the planet Earth? Earth. Now, in 2015, NASA captures an epic Earth image on camera on the Deep Sea Space Climate Observatory satellite has returned its very first view of the entire sunlit side of the Earth from 1 million miles away. And that's the image it returned. 1 million miles. Now, when I found out that was done in 2015, it stunned me because I figured by now we would have had it. But we didn't. The image was taken on July the 6th, 2015, showing North and Central America. The central turquoise area are shallow seas around the Caribbean islands. The Earth's mass is 6.6 trillion tons. Its volume is about 260 billion cubic miles. The total surface of the Earth is about 197 million square miles. Imani, how long would you think it would take you to measure Earth? I think we would all agree a long time. About 71% of our planet is covered by water and 29% by land. This morning, the text is going to be coming from Philippians chapter 2. And I will share this with you. A message like this is not one that can be preached from one context from the Bible. So I will be referencing the Bible quite a bit to different scriptures. So you might want to jot it down, or if you can flip as I share those passages with you, you can. But just be forewarned that in order to answer the question, how big is God, it's not something that you can actually come and choose a tape measure and measure how big God is. It's just something that can't be done. How it can be done is through the Word of God.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5 and going through verse 11. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we break open the bread of life and we study your word this morning, let us, as CJ mentioned earlier, let us not focus on what's going on outside the walls, but let us focus on Jesus Christ, because that's our main purpose this morning, is to worship you, Father, to learn more about you, Father. And I pray that in this time of hour that we would do just that, that we will be able to sit at the feet of your cross and learn not from a man, but from the teacher, Father. And I pray, as I'm the messenger sent, I pray that you hide me behind the cross and speak through me, Father, because my words doesn't matter. But what does matter is what you have to say this morning, Father. And I pray that you remove myself out of it so that you can speak to your children and to your sons and daughters. And I thank you for this time. In Christ's name that I pray. Amen. The first thing I would like to make note, as I was looking about in the direction how to get this going, I said, "God, you're going to have to help me." Now, if you know your Bible, you know that there are 66 books of the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters, and there's 31,102 verses. And he narrowed it down as my main context, these few verses. The question, how big is God, may be kind of childish to some of you, thinking, why would you even bring up a topic? That's something that a kid would ask. Is it really? That's why scientists all over the country has been looking for answers, trying to explain God for those that believe. And then you got those that don't believe in God, that's trying to come up with the excuses of we came from this or we came from that. Folks, God said it best in Genesis 1:1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was God that created it. I don't need a science textbook to tell me that we came from other things. I just need the Word of God to tell me where we came from. And I need the Word of God that tells me not just where I came from, but needs to tell me where I'm going. And you find that from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is a full context. And to answer the question this morning, how big is God? I can't just do it with one verse. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The fact is that God transcends the physical dimension. And it's not possible to measure God according to human standards. This is the God who created the universe, the Adam, and everything we see and feel and experience. Some may say that God is infinity big. For a science book definition, that's a good definition to start with. Wouldn't you agree? He is forever big, just like the universe is forever big. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and God is big enough that he created heaven and earth into existence. The question this morning is, how big is the universe? We talked about earth. The universe is 540 with 21 zeros to follow. And I'm not even going to try to even say it. But that's a lot of zeros. That's a big, big universe. But also to stop and think for just a brief second, that according to science, they say that the universe is always expanding. Also, in easier words to say, it's 93 billion light years in diameter. That's what I said. Wow. And I'll be honest with you, church, I wasn't a science major. God gave me a task that one day through some circumstances, and the thought to ask myself was, how big is God? I knew the answer, but I wanted to know what the Bible says about how big God is. In Genesis 1:26, this is a great starting point as far as how big God is. Because you got God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1. And then you got in Genesis 1:26, you want to know how big God is? He is the creator of man. That's how big God is. He created man into existence. But church, I want you to notice something. He didn't create man in verse 26 in my image. It says, let us make man in our image rather than let us make man in my own image. I think that's very important that we realize that, because already in the beginning, God is big enough that he creates not man just in our image, but he already had a plan. Amen. And that plan started with Jesus Christ. He already knew. It wasn't something that came about later on in his creation and he thought to himself, oh no, I goofed up. There's no mistakes that God does. There is only one God, and God is one. God is presented throughout Scripture in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And church, this morning, if anyone else is telling you that there's another way to heaven, you're listening to their own gospel. Right. Because my gospel and the church's gospel, God's gospel, said there's only one. Yes, sir. And he was there in the beginning, and he's going to be there in the end. And he is big enough that he created man in our image. And church, I got something to say on a personal level, to talk to you individually for just a moment. Think about that for just a second. He said he created man in our image. If you go into text, it'll also talk about male and female being created in my image, in the image of God. There are people today, and maybe you're one of them, but you know what? People are not satisfied with how they look. Maybe they were born without an arm, or maybe they don't look this way or that way. It doesn't matter, because you are created in the image of God. God loves you exactly how he created you. And shame on you or those who wants to look and pick fun at somebody because they're different.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's not what we as the church should be doing. We are to love just as Jesus loved.
Amen.
We need to care at least as Jesus cares. And we need to have that same compassion, because at the end of the day, black or white, Hispanic or any other nationality, it doesn't matter. Because we all bleed the same. And we all will have a final destination.
Amen.
And it's important that we realize that the Creator of God, God Himself, had a perfect plan.
Amen.
And with a God that makes a perfect plan, He makes no mistakes. As God being the perfect creator of both the universe and mankind, God, how big is God? God is big enough that he became fully human. Matthew 1, verses 21, or excuse me, chapter Matthew 1, 22 and 23, or verses 22 and 23. And when I first came across this verse, I thought to myself, Jesus, this is like a Christmas story. He said, it's more than just a Christmas story. He said, it's who I am. Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23, he says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophets saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Amen. He came to us as Jesus Christ in the form of a human body. Church, in Genesis chapter 1, he already knew he was coming to earth because he said what? He created man in our image. I don't think there's any coincidence from Genesis to Matthew in the same chapter that Jesus comes being in the form of a man. It was no mistake that he made on his part. It was his perfection. How big is God? Everything he wove together is perfection, not mistakes. He was, not only was he born of a virgin with God with us, but he was also tempted in every way. And I'd like for us to look at Hebrews chapter 4 for just a moment. Fully man, fully God, and tempted in every way. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that he was a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 15, that last part that says, yet without sin.
Amen.
How perfect. Had Jesus made one mistake, salvation would not be what it is today.
Right.
Jesus knew everything that was to come. We read it from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And he warned his disciples of what was to come. And in the final hour, do you know what Jesus did in the final hour, church? He went and he prayed. Out of everything he could have done, he spent time praying to the Father. He could have fled. He could have rewrote all of what we know is history. He could have rewritten all of it. Because he had that power. But he chose not to. And the reason why? Because he knew that you and I needed a Savior. He knew that you and I, we needed redemption. And he was that Redeemer. He was the Redeemer that day when he went to the cross. And he's that Redeemer today. And as long as the church is here on this earth today, he will always be the Redeemer. You cannot find another way to heaven. I don't care what anyone else is saying out there. I've heard all kinds of ways to heaven. But the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. And he points us to the way. How big is God? Are you getting an idea how big God is yet this morning? Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Going back to the main text. Like I said, I told God, I said, God, you're going to have to help me preach this message. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. In verse 7, Jesus, the Son of God, the Most High, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came as a form of a servant. He came to serve us. He wasn't looking for royalties. He wasn't looking to be put on a pedestal, but yet he came to serve. The greatest example of Jesus coming to serve, church, I believe is found in John chapter 13, where he washed his disciples' feet. Yes, there's others, but that was the one that jumped out to me. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, got down on his hands and knees and washed his feet. And he said, I love you. And it didn't stop there. To this day, he came to serve, and yet he tells us he loves us. And he humbled himself. In verse 8 of Philippians, it says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If that's not humbleness, I don't know what is. If that isn't love, I don't know what is. If that isn't grace, I don't know what is. If that isn't mercy, I don't know what is. And he demonstrated all of that because he loves each and every one of us. How big is God? He's big, isn't he? Amen. Verses 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly called and exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. As I recalled about the name above every name, earlier I mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He has many names because they're all fitting and they're all righteous and they're all perfect. God is a great God. And his name rings throughout all nations. And then he tells us that every tongue, verse 11 tells us that every tongue confess. He says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue. Think about that for a moment. Every tongue. It doesn't say that only my people will confess, but every tongue, every nation, every tribe. Whether you're here in America or if you're somewhere 100,000 miles away, they'll confess that He is King, that He is Lord. Also, not only we as humans, but in James chapter 2:19, says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." In other words, the demons tremble at His name because they know it's powerful. There are scriptures that talks about Jesus casting demons out and where the demons feared Him because they knew of Him. Church, you can be sitting here today and know all about Jesus just as the demons, but yet not be saved because you choose to not receive the gospel and the truth. It's our choice. God doesn't make us. He gives us a choice to accept how big He is. And for demons to tremble, that gives me an indication that God's pretty powerful. And nonetheless, He's pretty big. God is the Holy Spirit. And this is, I'm going to reference John 16:7-8. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if depart, I will send unto you. And when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin. Reprove world and the righteous and of judgment. Right. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient." I like that word, expedient. That means it's important. And He also says that He's going away. In that departure time of Jesus going away, He's not leaving us, church. Right. His body form left us. But His Holy Spirit, the presence of what we experience today, is God's Holy Spirit that dwells.
Amen.
And as expediently as He went to the cross and ascended to the Father, yes, He is one day going come just like that, of a twinkling of an eye. Some translations leave out that word expediently, but I believe it's crucial because it tells us how fast God is at work.
Amen.
That's how big God is. He is expediently quick. He's expediently fast. And that's the Holy Spirit working. You and I, we can't move like God can we? We can't speak creation into creation like God can we? But He can.
Amen.
Because He's God. The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and take spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. Billy Graham.
Amen.
Let me read that one more time. The Holy Spirit illuminates the mind of people, makes us yearn for God, and take spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. Makes it understandable to us. Folks, we don't have to have a doctorate of theology, biblical studies, Hebrew and Greek, and all those degrees to understand who God is.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit,
yes, sir,
that indwells us to understand His truths.
Right.
And it's by us having that communication and relationship and walking with the Father, not just on a weekly basis, but on a daily basis. We got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is beautiful and it's powerful. It's part of who God is.
Amen.
We need Him in our life as a conduit to become who God created us to be And through his power, we have aid in all situations. Without him, we are powerless. Without him, I am nothing. But with him, I am everything.
Amen.
That's who God is.
Amen.
Not only who God is, but that's how big God is. The Holy Spirit lives in us. I believe that we serve a God that is living and is on fire, don't you?
Yes,
Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house." The Holy Spirit is the light in us. The Holy Spirit is the light in us. God tells us to manifest the light to others so that God can be glorified. That light that we have, you have a choice. You can, as this being a candle here, you can just let that candle burn, or you can just smother it.
True.
The choice is ours. I don't know about you, I can't get too far in the dark with a burned out candle. But with the lit one, I can find my way and I can see the path. This morning, church, ask you the question, how big is God? God was big enough that he created the heavens and the earth. God was big enough and is big enough that he created man in our image. The only creation that he created was man in his image. You don't find any other creature created. How big is God? He's big enough that he's the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that impels us to do what we do. How big is God? He's big enough that he's the way maker. When there seems to be no way, when there seems to be no hope, he's the way maker. He shows us the way. Have you ever been lost trying to figure out where to go, what to do next? He stepped down from heaven to show us the way. To walk with Jesus is to walk with God. I don't know about you, there's a lot of options that he gives us. We can walk with a lot of things. We can walk with the things in the world, or we can walk in the things of Christ. But the choice is ours. He is big enough to be the miracle worker. He's big enough to be the miracle worker. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I wonder, God, how will things ever work out? God, how will things ever come apart, fall together? Sometimes it doesn't seem like everything I do is not right. Everything I do just seems not to be working, whether it be a job, whether it may be an illness, whether it be your finances, the list goes on. We can get bogged down with the things of the world. But give it to Jesus, because he says, you know what? I got this. I love you this much.
Amen.
He's a miracle worker. After all, he turned water into wine. He walked on water. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. That's how big God is. But the greatest miracle didn't stop there. The greatest miracle, he rose from the dead.
Amen.
No tomb could keep him down. No watch overnight can keep him in that tomb. Why? Because he's fully God. He didn't need man to roll that stone away. He didn't need man to come and try to revive him. All he needed was waiting for God to say, now's the time. He's also big enough that he's the promise keeper. There are around 7,400 promises in the Bible, and a lot of them has been fulfilled. And some are left to be fulfilled. But church, the one that I'm waiting on that's left to be fulfilled Can you guess what it is? The rapture, his return. He says that he's coming back. I understand it's been a long time since he went to the cross. But you know what? From the last book in the Old Testament to Matthew is 400 years. From the book of Malachi. 400 years of silence. God didn't say it's going to be 400 years. He didn't say it's going to be 3,000 years or 2,000 years. But he say the generation that sees these things come to pass will be the generation that will see the second coming of man. Church, another sermon for another time and another Bible study for another time. But I think we can all agree. I believe with what the Scripture says and what's lining up in the world, we need to start looking up.
Amen.
We need to start anticipating for the second coming of Jesus Christ. All of his promises are being fulfilled. Why would he miss that one? He won't, because he's God. Not only is he a promise keeper, he's big enough to be the light in the darkness. He's our light, as I mentioned just a moment ago. Samuel 2:22, verse 29. A lot of 2s in there. 2 Samuel 22:29 says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." When we're in the dark valley and we don't have an answer, he will give us the light that we need. He said it in the Old Testament, and he said it in the New Testament. He said in John 8, verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Once again, I don't think there's any coincidence by accident that he referenced both Old and New Testament that he's the light of the world. He did it because he wants us to know that he is the light. John Piper states this: "Jesus speaks from God, and for God as God. Apart from Jesus, we live in darkness." What a good summary of those two verses. Apart from Jesus, we live in darkness. That picture of a cross was captured by the Hubble telescope in 1992. Later on, around 1998, 1999, I was at a conference with Louis Gigolo and Chris Tomlin when the song Indescribable came out. And in that was one of the pictures that was shown. And that's the first time I saw it. I was blown away. But church, going back to Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. From the earth to the cross, he shines. And there's no denying an existence of who God is with images like that.
Amen.
That points to the cross. It points to the truth. And in closing, it points about how big God is. Because there's no artist that could ever do an artwork that Jesus, our Father, can create.
Amen.
Because he's perfection. How big is God? He's big enough to meet you right where you are, to save you right where you are, so you don't have to face eternity separated from him. He's big enough that if you are his child and you are his children, sons and daughters, he says, "Come to me and lay your troubles down, because I'm big enough to take them." Come on. Don't be shy, he said. Don't be bashful. Come. Because he loves you that much. That cross wasn't a mistake. That temptation that Adam and Eve did was not a mistake. God already had a plan. And you're part of it. And he's saying, come on. Got your troubles, church? Lay them down. You're lost? Come on. I'll save you. I'll meet you right where you are. He says, you don't have to clean up, shave up, nothing. He says, I'll meet you right where you are. That's love. and that's how big God is. The price has been paid for. The battle has already been fought. And most importantly, it's already been won.
Amen.
Church, are you trusting Him? What a great image of how big God is.
Yes,
the cross, it didn't finish. It was just the beginning. The earth, He had to have a start. So He created the heavens and the earth so that He can one day rapture the church for His glory, not for ours. For His purpose, not ours. He stepped down from heaven and came to earth to show us the way. And then there's a day that He's going to come back. Are you ready? Do you know Him? Church, are you carrying on that burden, trying to hang on to it just because you want to? Let it go. Let God take control and let God be God. Let us pray, and we'll have a time of invitation. Father God, we thank You that You are mighty, that You are powerful. From the creation of the heavens to the creation of the earth and even to the cross. And we anticipate the second coming. Not because of anything that we've done. The Word of God tells us our righteousness is filthy rags. But because of the cross, I can face tomorrow. Because of the cross, I can lay down my cares, and I know God got this. Because You're big enough to take on anything I can throw at You. And I thank You so much for it. And I pray as we open up the invitation, I pray that people will meet You right where they are. And just lay it down, whatever they need to, just turn it over and let You have Your way, Father. In Christ's name that I pray. Amen.